Jim Shoemaker and Scott Jordan are registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Securian Financial Services, Inc., securities dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Rob Clement is a registered representative of Securian Financial Services, Inc. Shoemaker Financial is independently owned and operated.
Helping you make the most of your money, it's time for Talk Money. Now, your host, Jim Shoemaker.
Whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial, it doesn't seem to matter. A common concern is always money. Well, welcome to today's program. I tell you, it's so exciting to have just a lineup like we've got today because it's going to be just really going through some things we all need to be sensitive and aware of. And leading off is Dane Williams, our insurance advisor from Shoemaker Insurance Solutions. He's going to talk about all the issues of filing claims in Shelby County in the Mid-South because of really what we've had to happen in the past week with the winds and rain and stuff. It has just been a disaster for a lot of people. That's Dane. He's up first. Then Scott Jordan. He's going to talk about some fundamentals and answer your questions. And boy, what a powerful question when we get to that point in the program. And then, of course, Rob Clement is going to the last part of the show, is going to dive into some issues. And I just have to tell you this. It is so critical to know this. $28.3 billion last year was taken with financial exploitation from senior citizens. I mean, can you imagine? We're going to give you some ideas what to look for. I want to remind you that you can always find a show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Search for Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker. And, of course, just subscribe to the program. We appreciate it. And if you've got questions for us, send them to Jim, 901-683-0989. That's Jim, J-I-M. 901-683-0989, or you can send it to talkmoney@shoemakerfinancial.com. All right, Dane, welcome to the program, sir. He is, of course, as I said earlier, he is an insurance advisor with Shoemaker Insurance Solutions. Welcome first, and what in the world is going to be going on for the next couple of weeks?
No, thanks for having me. It's going to be a little busy in our office. We're definitely rocking and rolling right now. We obviously had weather events come through over the past weekend, and it definitely kept us running as so much the city without power, with trees falling down, and just being a massive catastrophic storm that happened is keeping us busy for sure.
Well, you know, I know it does. And I tell you, I just look at the claims and the damage that was done. And of course, power outages and all those things. Of course, we all feel the issues with power outages. But when you look, I just was driving around in an area of, we have some friends and we were kind of going over to see if we could help them. And I saw a tree. Now, fortunately, this tree did not fall on anything but a fence. But I tell you, I couldn't have put my arms around this thing. No kidding. It had to be in you know, a circumference, or, I mean, 6, 7, 8 feet. I mean, it was a huge tree, big tree. And I would have not expected that tree to be uprooted, but it didn't have a problem. I guess when you got 75, 85 miles an hour winds, nothing stands in front of that.
Well, and sometimes what you'll see is a homeowner will see a great big tree in their yard that's producing green leaves or whatever and think it's healthy, but maybe the roots are having issues. And if you haven't had a big tree like that looked at, maybe the roots aren't as strong as they need to be, and these 80-mile-an-hour winds can really do a toll.
Yeah, talk about this. I mean, when we wanted to kind of go over this, and you think about the problem with a lot of people, and some people have filed claims before, but what does a person do? I mean, you know, when they're looking at filing a claim, how long do you really have? I mean, if it's occurred Sunday night and now it's already Saturday and, you know, we've been a week or Sunday morning or whatever, and you go through the process, what do you do? I mean, how do I go through the, you know, tell me what to do.
Yeah, the first thing we always instruct our clients to do is give your agent a call. We want to talk to you to try to figure out, all right, what's happened here? What type of damage do you have? Does it definitely make sense? Because sometimes people will just see, man, there are trees all over the neighborhood. I'm sure it did damage to my roof. They'll file the claim, and they won't necessarily have the damage there. And unfortunately, it's going to be on their record for years and years, causing them to pay higher premiums. So we always want to engage in a conversation with them to see, all right, have you looked at this? Have you looked at that? Okay, there's nothing that is an immediate damage or immediate danger that's going to do more harm to your home. Let's go ahead and have somebody come out and take a look at it and tell you what it would cost to fix, if there is even anything to fix. And then at that point, that will inform us if we need to file a claim.
Now, Dane, when you say have someone to come out, I mean, here you are, you're working with someone, you're an independent, you know, you don't work in for, you know, you got multiple companies, which I want to talk about that. Is this catastrophic type of, you know, problem that we had in the city, is that going to affect us with carriers? But that, I know we talked about that last time, and I was just blown away with what you told us then. But when a person's filing a claim, do you send out that person to look at their roof? They got a leak in their bedroom, they got a leak in the kitchen or something. Do you send someone out, or do you give them a telephone number for them to go find somebody?
Oftentimes it's better for me to connect them with somebody and say, look, here's this person with this company. They're going to do a great job. And at least I know the quality of their work, and I know that they have, you know, inspected a ton of houses for us, so they can take a look and at least let you know what type of damage you have. But I would rather them make the call, just scheduling. There's practicalities of, are you going to be at the house? Are you not going to be at the house? So I usually connect them with a phone number and say, you guys do it. And once they've taken a look at your home and seen the damage, get back with me. And then we'll decide, you know, what our next steps are going to be.
Scott Jordan is in the studio with us, too, and I'm looking at Scott. And, Scott, you know, you live out close in the area, farther out east, and a lot of damage out in your area. What are you seeing? Are you seeing, I mean, are you sensing people are frustrated, they're not getting help, or what's going on?
Yeah, I'm sensing a lot of frustration out there. And a lot of my neighbors are, you know, admittedly a little bit older, and it's been hot. And we were without power. We finally got power back on, but we were without power for several days. So, yeah, you started to see people. Well, I mean, we're spoiled, to say the least. You know, we get used to having things like air conditioning, yeah, running water, and lights. So, yeah, people were getting very frustrated. But I tell you what, the crews are working as hard as they can, and they're doing a great job of getting everything back together like they always do.
Absolutely.
They're very good at getting out there and getting to work, and I'm sure they're as worn out. I mean, it's been, you know, almost above 100 degrees, so they're working out in the very hot weather getting things restored for us.
And again, that's that process, and you say they are working hard. And Dane, I guess I'm going back. You've now said make a phone call to you, the agent, call your agent, and then let the agent decide should we call, what, you know, kind of get a description. So if I call you and say there's my roof is leaking in my bedroom, that's a pretty good indication of get somebody out. But if I say I think it might start leaking, that's probably not going to be an indication. What do you do?
Yeah, well, one of the things we always do, and just to correct one small thing you did, it's not necessarily the agent that's deciding. It's my job to educate you, inform you on is what your policy covers. These are the things that are going to be covered. If you want to file a claim, regardless of that information, I'll walk through the process right now. There's no hesitation. I'm not here to talk you out of filing a claim. I just want to make sure you understand your policy. And then once we start to figure out what it is that we believed caused the damage, there's water that's leaking into my house. Well, a handful of years ago, we had a really bad snowstorm, right? And there was a lot of ice damming that occurred. The ice was frozen up on the gutter line, and eventually as it would melt, it would seep back through the shingles. There was nothing that was damaged with the roof at all. All that was just water that was melting. It didn't have anywhere to go. So even if we would have filed a claim, even though you had water in your living room, there was no real damage for us to fix at that point, unless, you know, you just had a full piece of sheetrock fall through.
Does this make a difference to us now that we've had the ice storms? You mentioned the snow, but the ice storms in December, January, mm-hmm, I mean, devastated, just tons of people, bursted pipes. I mean, going through that process, I mean, I'm thinking of a neighbor now that's got a tree down in their backyard and had two bursted pipes in their house in January. I mean, they're frustrated.
Sure.
You know, it is. I mean, what does this begin to affect who we get as carriers in this city? I mean, is that a problem? I mean, you talked about last time that, you know, when we talked a couple of weeks ago, actually, that you've got insurance carriers that are pulling out of not just Memphis or Shelby County or West Tennessee or Eastern Arkansas, North Mississippi. They're pulling out of states.
Yeah. I mean, we've had now some major carriers that write across the entire country that have basically said, we're effectively going to stop writing new business, not just for a couple weeks, not until we get a handle on things, through the rest of the year into the start of next year. Major companies that you see commercials for that have basically said, we're out of the game for writing new business right now because we don't have a good handle on our profitability. Mm. Right now, we had our worst year in over two decades as far as profitability. We lost a significant amount of money, and we're trying to figure that out. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop the bleeding with some of that to where we're just acquiring more bad business that wasn't profitable for us and try to weed out some of that expensive business that we're not profitable on.
You mentioned the fact that Florida was struggling and started their own state insurance plan. I mean, is that something that we're going to be looking at in the future?
I hope not. know a lot of my Florida agents, friends that are down there in California has some similar things to where there's more or less a government-backed plan for people that just can't get insurance. And it's a tough spot because you're not getting some of the perks that you get whenever you have companies that have designed a product where they're trying to have an advantage over everyone else.
Some a of competitive product.
It's exactly right. You're not getting some of that. You're getting, well, this is all that exists, so let's just have a government-run insurance product that we just have to put out there for people.
You've been in the insurance business long enough to know kind of the atmosphere and the attitude of the insurance companies. Can you give us a kind of an idea of what you see in the next 18 to 24 months?
You know, I've never seen anything like this. And I talk to my friends that have been around for decades, and they tell me the same thing. I have never seen anything like this. It's a very hard market for insurance agents. I would imagine, from talking to all of our carriers, from all the things that we're reading, it seems like we're probably going to be in this rising rate environment for the rest of the year, maybe even to the start of next, before we start to level off and start to kind of see, all right, we're not having to deal with some of these massive increases right now. When you look at auto insurance across the board, over the last year, we're seeing about a 15.5% increase in people's premiums nationwide. That's a pretty significant increase on just one product. When you start to go to the home insurance, you start getting out some of the other parts of an insurance profile. It really is a pretty significant increase that people are feeling on their bottom line.
All right. Now, that brings me to this question here. And I guess what happens when you file a claim? I mean, you kind of told us that, you know, you got to get somebody out. If you do this, does it affect your rates? I mean, you know, okay, I can fix this part of the leaky roof, maybe. Or I can whatever. I mean, I can, you know, do my, and I'm not going to file a claim. But I'm not a good roofer, you know. I mean, I'm going to patch, but wait a minute, guys, that wasn't funny. I mean, yeah. You know, okay. I mean, okay, I might could do a roof. You never know. My wife would not let me get on the roof.
Right.
Jim Shoemaker's birdhouses is what he's putting roofs on. So.
Exactly. But the point is, all right. So let's say I'm a fix it type of guy, and I'm going to try. But you're telling if I file a claim. Is that going to raise my rates immediately?
No, typically a home insurance contract is going to be a 12-month contract. So it really depends on when your policy renews before you'll feel the impact of that rate.
Okay.
So if your policy just renewed last month, you probably have 11 months before you're really going to see that increase.
Is there going to be an increase? Well, you mentioned something at one point when we were having a discussion about this, because it's just a question that it comes in a lot. A catastrophic, if it's catastrophic and affects a swath of people, it doesn't affect me as personally as much. Is that correct?
Correct.
Am I saying that right?
Correct. The different types of claims you can have, some are going to be more punitive than others. And then the more recent that they were are also going to be more punitive than those that are further away. So having a long time ago catastrophic loss or cat loss, that's like the least punitive claim you can have, because there's nothing you could have done that everybody got hit with a tornado or whatever it may be, and it was 5 years ago. But these companies are looking back 5 to 7 years now in your claims history and bearing that for the new business that they'll write before they'll take a new client on, and for rating business that is already on the books.
Wow. That's a big decision that we have to manage through our process of understanding literally the industry. I mean, insurance claims, when it comes to homeowners and auto, knowing how to manage through that process.
Well, you know, one of the things that is even a little scarier, we have heard stories and there's countless times where a client may have been with an insurance company for a couple years now, but prior to coming to them, they had claims. Maybe we wrote that business 2 years ago, they priced those claims into it, but now we're getting time for their renewal at this point, and they've changed their appetite. They've said, hey, we can't have a level of risk because you had claims a while back, even though we were okay with them last year. We're not okay with them now. We're going to non-renew you and cancel your contract whenever it renews.
Well, that makes me kind of concerned about all of a sudden not having insurance coverage, and people have to be very sensitive to this. And I guess we'll talk with that when we get to Rob. You got that elder person who's trying to manage their finances through this process, and they're trying to get advice. And so it's really I think one of the things that I think is important, you represent multiple carriers. And from my perspective, that doesn't mean that you're tied to one. And I'm not knocking somebody that does that. I'm just simply saying you chose, as the firm did, to say, we're going to be able to select. And help me understand why that's critical for the person buying the insurance.
Yeah, now more than ever, it's incredibly important to be with an independent insurance agent or an independent insurance broker, because when we have that circumstance I just talked about where the company's saying, we're going to non-renew you for something you haven't done in years, we have the opportunity now to get ahead of that. I know I've got a 60-day notice before they're going to be non-renewed. I can go and find alternative options for them to find the best option I can to try to replace that product for you and have as limited amount of upheaval in that client's life as they need to, as opposed to you having to call 15 different insurance agents around town and deal with all the sales processes to go with that and presentations and eventually make a decision. We can go and do all of that shopping for you and at that point say, here's the best that we were able to find. I know this may not be great. I know this is awesome. Whatever it may be, here's what we found for you. And you're not having to do anything other than, okay, here's a thumbs up. Let me sign off on it and we'll be good to go.
You know, that helps me, I think, because it gives me a sense of you're consulting with me to find what's best for me. And that's the best thing I think works with that. We've talked about wind and storms and rain and roofs and trees and stuff, but let's talk about cars. Everybody in this city knows that if you drive a car, at some point, it seems like at some point in this city, you're going to be broken into. Now, fortunately, I drive a truck. I don't think trucks are on the top list to be broken into, but I don't know.
I wouldn't have said that, Jim.
Because as soon as I say it,
yeah, right.
You know, you and I are talking just last week about, you know, you don't need a generator. We were talking to a guy that said, I just had one put in. Oh, we don't need a generator.
We never lose power for very long.
That's right.
Famous last words.
Famous last words. All right. So, okay, I shouldn't have said that. I drive a Plymouth.
A duster. 1969 duster.
There you go. So what about cars in this city?
You know, it's tough because auto rates across the nation are seeing a pretty big increase because of claims that we've had and just the toughness of profitability there, right? Auto insurance as a whole, for every dollar of premium they collected last year, they paid out $1.12. So that's an issue, right? When you just look at that level of unprofitability for a business, they're in business to stay in business. They're not trying to just run a nonprofit here. So whenever we have those types of issues, they're going to be raising rates. The claims that we've seen with break-ins, but also just as we're returning to normal driving patterns post-COVID, we're starting to see accidents tick back up because there's fewer people working from home than we had last year and the year before and the things that go with that. That's all having an impact, and some of the carriers are having to be creative in the ways that they find discounts for clients to try to offset some of that cost.
So it's an ongoing problem. And, you know, you told us, and I hate to put you on the spot, but you said something about last year through the month of May or June, I don't remember what it was, we had so many break-ins that I want to say 2,500 or something like that.
Yeah.
And now you're over.
Yeah, so the city of Memphis, this was in May that this stat came out. And I want to say for all of 2022, we had less than 3,000 auto thefts. Just through May of 2023, we were over 5,000, probably close to 6,000.
Yeah, that blew me away when you said that. So it's a real issue. It's a real problem. Knowing what type of insurance you have, knowing how to file the claim is critical. You know, here's the thing I want to say to everybody. Finding somebody that just has your best interest in heart in this particular environment is critical. Dane's telephone number is 901-757-5757. Pick up the phone, call him, just ask questions. I mean, he'll answer your questions, and all you have to do is just simply say, I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. That's the key. It is difficult to know exactly how to buy or really cover yourself when you're looking at that insurance claim. What would you say? Any closing words there, Dane? Because, I mean, it's a problem.
I think with anything, especially on this show as we're looking at financial planning and all the things that go with that, having an idea of where you stand, what your policy covers, what you're paying for your policies, and it's not something you've just set it and forget it, but instead you're keeping an eye on it and have an engaged relationship with your insurance advisor, that's going to position you so much better than those people that have just buried their head in the sands and hoping what they have is okay.
That's well said, sir. 901-757-5757. If you'd like to talk to Dane, give him a call. Scott, you know, we have a question that I think is critical. And I think it's one of those questions, because of the way it was asked, it's like you guys seem to have, and I'll just kind of give it to you, this confidence, this optimism, and you always are positive, even though the market may be tanking or doing something. And do you have things that you work from? And I think it's a good question. I think it's a legitimate question that we've got And, you know, again, it comes in from Robert. But Robert says, and so what I would think Robert's asking is, how do you guys stay calm with the news and everything like that? You talk about it all the time. Don't let your emotions get caught up in it. So I want to toss that out. And I think we could probably over the next couple of weeks put together several principles. But I know there's at least one that you look at as being critical. And I want to just toss out to what it is. And we'll come back and talk about it in the great discussion coming up after the break. What is that principle?
Know yourself.
So calm, so collected. Robert's going, do what?
Well, yeah, not quite the answer Robert was looking for.
Oh, but, you know yourself. And I think what you're saying is have an understanding of yourself when it comes to investing. To me, that makes a lot of sense. I know that's a principle we look at. And he's asking, why are you so optimistic all the time? Doesn't seem like you guys ever get too bothered about what's going on in the market. And that's because we know what we are looking for. And I think it's a good point. When we come back, I'm going to get Scott to dive into that and really help us understand as he talks about fundamentals when it comes to answering your questions and fundamentals investment. Know yourself. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening, of course, to Talk Money. I'm Jim Shoemaker. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Helping you make the most of your money. Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker on News Talk 98.9.
This material represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time and is not intended to be a forecast of future events or a guarantee of future results. This information is not investment advice or a recommendation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested.
Helping you make the most of your money. It's time for Talk Money. Now, your host, Jim Shoemaker.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Shoemaker. If you have questions, send them to Jim, J-I-M, 901-683-0989. In fact, Robert has sent us a question, and I think Robert is complimenting us, you know, to some degree, Scott. He's saying, you guys always seem to be together and you're thinking through this. And of course, that's because we do the radio show and then we go back to work. It's just right. Reality. But it's like all the process that goes on to making decisions for our investors, it is kind of knowing what makes us tick. You said know yourself. When you say know yourself, you're talking about Mary and John, who's brought in and they want to invest money. It's knowing them. And so what do you mean? Give us some ideas about, I guess, when you say know yourself.
Well, let me start by saying, you know, I don't want to just glaze over Robert's question because it is something that all investors deal with. I mean, enduring the ups and downs of the market can be challenging for even the most experienced investors like we are. I think that some of that confidence he hears comes from our experience in doing this for a long time, but also in understanding that if you design an investment plan based on time-tested principles, that is going to go a long way toward instilling that confidence in you. So we talked about knowing yourself. So when we're putting together an investment plan for someone, you know, part of what we do is dig down and understand their tolerance for risk, right? That's kind of what I mean by know yourself. So if you own an investment, whether that's a stock, a mutual fund, or an ETF, and that investment drops by, let's just say, 20%, you know, how are you going to react to that? So we've put together an investment plan that has a high probability of hitting your goals, right? Now we've seen a 20% drop in that investment. We're sitting here talking, how are you yourself as an investor, how are you going to react to that? And that's an important question to really dive in and understand as you're developing a plan. Like I said, we call that risk tolerance, that tolerance for that volatility, because the worst thing that can happen is we put together an investment plan. We see that drop in the market, which, by the way, we know is coming sooner or later. That's just part of being an investor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And how is that investor going to react? And you know, and that investor says, whoa, I didn't anticipate this. I'm out. Get me out of the market. I don't like that.
Selling immediately.
Okay. Like I'm getting out.
We would ask questions to determine if that's their philosophy. We want to know that before we make the investment.
Absolutely. And you know, it's It can be determined. The answer to that question can be determined by where we are in the market cycle, by the way. During good times, you see a lot of people have a high tolerance for risk when the market's going up, and it's been going up for a while. We'll see that a lot. People get, oh, no, I want to be aggressive. I like it. But then when that inevitable drop happens, we see a change in that attitude because, again, you got to think, when the market's down 20% or more than 20%, the news media is pounding on that. They are telling you this is the worst thing ever. We haven't seen anything like this. We don't know when this or if this is going to recover. So it's not just that the market's down. It's like everything around you, all the news and all the information coming to you is even more negative than normal.
So that would say the person, if they want to sell, is risk averse.
Very risk averse.
Okay, yeah. All right. So now, not everybody's risk averse.
Right.
What if the person says, you know, I think I want to sell it, give it a chance to come back, and I will sell it when it's back to being, $100, $100,000.
Right. I've recouped my losses, so to speak. Yeah. So now I want to get. I would still consider that person pretty risk averse and not having a great understanding of the market because, again, we're in this. If we've done this correctly, we've designed this investment plan around what we're trying to accomplish. You know, we talk about that all the time, the why. Why are we doing this? Why are we trying to invest? And it's not just to get rich quick. We have some future cash flow needs, whether that's retirement income or I'm going to buy a new house, whatever that goal is that we're trying to accomplish. So if we've done this correctly, we've established this plan around the why. And if that why hasn't changed, then why are we selling our investment just because it's gotten back to even? Because now I'm feeling a little better, right? It's like, oh, man, I don't have a loss now. I can just get out of this. Well, the goal hasn't changed, so how are we going to accomplish that goal if we turn around and just sell out of our investments because they have temporarily gotten back to where they were?
But I think for our listeners, and when we talk about time-tested principles of investing, and that's really kind of what I think Robert's asking, the right kind of question.
Absolutely.
He's got it's a good foresight on his mind. But for this person that says, I really think I might want to, you know, hold on and get to the point where money is coming back to where I did my original price. You know, that person, as you said, maybe still risk averse,
right?
Definitely, but they can kind of all of a sudden, you know, they can build a portfolio that has to be very conservative.
Very conservative.
And again,
yes.
We look at risk and reward are directly related. The more risk you take, usually the more reward, but that's not always the case. But again, if I'm avoiding risk, I'm probably not able to gain the amount of money that I'm thinking I want to gain.
And I think you also have to ask yourself, what type of risk am I avoiding? Yes, you're avoiding what we would call market risk, that market volatility risk. But the bigger risk could be, depending on your situation, the risk of not achieving those long-term goals because I was a little too conservative with my money. In other words, I'm not earning on my money the rate of returns I need to hit my goals. That is also a risk because, remember, it's not about principal protection. It's about future purchasing power. That's what we're trying to protect. And in an inflationary economy, we usually have to put our money to work in order to outrun at least the cost of living increases due to inflation in order to hit those long-term goals.
So now we're talking about know yourself.
I mean,
literally, that's this timeless tested principle of investing. Robert's saying, how do you guys maintain this optimistic mentality, you know, you don't get caught up in the news media. And we tell everybody that. So knowing the investor needs to know himself. And if it's John and Mary, as we're talking about, we spend the time to help them know themselves.
Right.
And we are looking to know what they're thinking. So we've talked about selling it immediately. As soon as it drops, you get out immediately. And boy, that person's, you know, very much risk averse. And usually they end up losing and they never come back into the market. Or else they are one of those that says, well, I'm going to hold on, and they're shaking and you know, worried and concerned all the time. But finally it gets back. If they invested $100,000, it gets back to $100,000, and then they sell.
Right.
They're conservative.
I didn't plan on that amount of discomfort, and now I want out of the game, so to speak. I don't like investing. I want to try to put my money in a place where it's perceived to be safe.
You know, Charles Schwab did a survey. They do it every year. It's called their Modern Wealth Survey. They do it around May or June every year. And this year, it said that 65% of Americans do not have a financial plan. And that's, again, just a strategy, a thought process. And it said that literally 21% were what? The reason why they didn't do it? Too complicated.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's 21%. But I thought basing 20% too time consuming.
And it can be, but we've used the saying all the time that most people spend more time planning for a 2-week vacation than they do planning for their future life. So yes, there is a little time involved. I think working with somebody who is or does a lot of financial planning professionally can help either speed that process along or give you those. But it goes back to why investors usually fail. If they fail, they have unrealistic expectations. They don't understand there's going to be up and downs in the market. They don't have guiding principles. They lack guiding principles that guide their investment framework. And they, going back to what the stats you just said, they operate without a plan. They don't understand the why they're investing and what they're trying to accomplish and setting up a plan that helps accomplish those goals.
Well, I think it's important for me to say that, separate from a financial plan is what we're talking about from Schwab and what's going on there. Our role as a financial planner, when we're working with someone, we may recommend the purchase of a specific investment or insurance product or on any accounts or something like that. And these products recommend that the product recommendations are not a part of the financial plan. And of course, we'll help everybody understand that it's no obligation. They're under absolutely no obligation when we've done a plan to follow that plan. They can go and take the plan and do whatever they want to with it. But it's important that they at least start. And I think that's what Schwab is saying.
Yes.
At least start.
Start with the plan.
You
need an investment framework that's well anchored to a financial plan. I think that is the key, one of the key determinants of success.
All right. Know yourself. You've got know yourself. If you sell immediately when it's down 20%, you're probably risk averse. If you get it back to, back to even, then you sell, you're still somewhat risk averse, but maybe there's a way that we can build a portfolio for you to stay in the market and be very conservative. But what about that person that says, hey, I want to buy more, it's on sale?
And that would be the more risk-tolerant investor and can be a good opportunity to do that, by the way. That can be a great opportunity to put money that's on the sideline in the market. But that type of mentality also comes with its own set of dangers. And I call it the fear of missing out in that, when you see certain parts of the investment world or certain parts of the economy doing really well, there's a lot of people that like to pile onto that and try to jump on because they're afraid they're going to miss out on those returns. And so same principles apply to that investor. Again, we go back to our guiding principles of asset allocation, how much we're going to put in stocks, how much we're going to put in bonds, how much we're going to put in cash. We're going to stay diversified. We don't know the future, so we're going to spread our money out in different investment types, and then we're going to keep that investment framework rebalanced over time. Those are those guiding principles we talk about on the show a lot, but that is all determined by what we're trying to accomplish. What is our tolerance for risk? What is our time frame of when we need the money? So those are kind of things we look at when we design those types of investment strategies. But again, it's all driven by that financial plan. What are we trying to accomplish and what does it take to accomplish that? All that can be quantified. We can put together a strategy that has a history or a high probability of producing the types of returns we need to hit those goals.
I hope Robert's getting this idea that's principled. Now, we'll cover some more principles that I think are important. I mean, he's kind of triggered the thought process here. Literally, why are you guys so comfortable and you're always optimistic? Well, there are some time-tested principles, and we dive in with every person we're talking to help them understand where they are. And, of course, what you just said is having that contrarian mindset. If, hey, the market's just allowed me to buy more at a discounted price. But you said it, and I think this is following the guideline, the strategy that you made in, when you set out and working through this idea of a strategy, before the 20% drop, you've
right.
thought through that process.
That is key. That is key.
And that's always important. So I think it's critical for people to understand, too, when we talk about diversification and asset allocation, neither asset allocation nor diversification guarantees against loss. And I think we try to stress that with people. That's a great way of looking at things, but it's a method used to manage risk. And that's what we try to preach a lot. So you and I talk about this because we talk about it every day.
Right.
But Robert's saying, help me understand. So I think it's best that we do kind of commit to come back over the next period of a couple of weeks talking about some time-tested principles, not try to jam them down all at one time.
Yeah, and I would add, you know, some of that confidence, Robert, comes from the fact that, you know, I have a strong belief that our markets are resilient. They're cyclical and unpredictable, but they're very resilient. And the faith is in the innovative companies of the world. We're not buying just, you know, random investments here. We're investing in the innovative companies of the world. And those strong companies with strong management teams can work through any type of challenges we may see in the economy, whether that's political, economic, you know, geopolitical. They will work through those challenges and continue to try to produce a profit for the company. And that's kind of the system that I have faith in, that the capitalist system in America. And I believe that over the long term, that has rewarded patient investors.
And good point that is rewarding a patient investor, one that's got a strategy.
Yep.
Of course, everybody knows past performance from these companies.
Absolutely.
It's not a guarantee of future performance. But the reality is that's faith of the capitalistic system that we happen to have our economy, and the economy continues just to grow. Well, I'm going to take a kind of a deep breath here, because this happens to be June. The month of June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month. And I know we just flew through June and we didn't get a chance to get this program on, but Rob Clement always does a very good job of helping us understand some things that go on with the elder abuse group. How in the world can this be happening with family, friends, and caregivers? $28.3 billion annually, and of that 28.3, $20 billion, 72% financial exploitation from family, friends, and caregivers. The other 28%, $8 billion, literally that's from strangers and scams. And so I've asked Rob to just give us some warning signs, things to look for when it comes to elder abuse. Rob, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here. And let me share, first of all, that first warning sign that we're talking about is isolation. And we see that because so many times people end up being widows or widowers, and they're by themselves, and they think that one of those family members or friend or caregivers are going to have their best interests in place. But here's the first story about isolation. Individual contacted me and said, did you hear about Miss Such and Such? She has been by herself in the house and decided to hire a caregiver to come in and take care of her. And 6 months later to a year later, it was found out by another individual that all of a sudden some of the monies that this individual had saved up and kept as available cash, as Scott and you have been talking about, as far as cash reserves, had disappeared. And when they approached the caregiver says, oh, it couldn't have been me. But then they found out that the caregiver was able to sign on the bank account for the particular individual. So in this case, isolation was one of the biggest causes. Nobody else to talk with. So the caregiver took advantage of that individual. So
when you talk
isolation.
About that, isolation is a critical aspect. You know, that actually happened, Scott, with one of our clients that we were working with.
Yeah, and you know, in this particular situation, it was a caregiver as well, and that particular caregiver, because this individual was isolated, as you said, kind of on their own, and they took way advantage of it, and to the point of even having legal documents changed to leave assets to themselves after death. They had access to all the bank accounts as well, and were writing checks. So I think it's, you know, just so important for, you know, a community or family members to look out for those people who they feel might be being isolated or taken advantage of like that, and making sure we know who we're hiring to help those people. Yeah. There's a lot of great caregivers in the world. I don't want to say we're beating up on caregivers, but you do have to be careful, because that is a position of trust you're bringing into the home.
I've got a case right now where it's a daughter and a large sum of money, and a daughter has taken a credit card and gone crazy and cash advances, lots of money, and mom, you know, the credit card company came back and said, well, obviously it was not something that you gave her permission to do. This would be fraud, so, you know, we'll put it in our fraud case, and you'll have to file a claim. And she said, no, I'm not going to do that to my daughter. And so,
I've seen that happen a lot as well, and even with caregivers where they were reluctant to bring in any authorities because they didn't want the caregiver to get in trouble. And this person had become close to the caregiver, yeah. So they just didn't want to see him get in trouble. So it's a very sad situation.
Rob, you talked about isolation, and then Scott mentioned changing legal documents and financial documents. That's another sign or warning tip. What's another one?
Yeah, basically the term is gatekeeper. That's a person that is watching out or supposed to be watching out for that individual. It could be a neighbor. It could be a long-lost relative or so. And again, it falls into that like fishing. They throw a lure out there and they catch a big fish of their finances or some other type of thing that they take from that particular senior citizen. I always watch for red flags, for things that people are looking for that could be a opportunity to pilfer or steal from somebody. So encountering a gatekeeper.
Yeah, you've mentioned this where all of a sudden the gatekeeper says, well, you can't talk to so-and-so right now. In other words, you've got to talk to me. You can't talk to Miss Jane, Miss Mary, or Mr. Bob or something because the gatekeeper is now in charge. That's a big problem.
And Jim, that really springboards into another term I'm going to throw out here is trusted contact. That is something that most financial planning firms today are encouraging their clients to do. I know we at Shoemaker do that same thing, to have a trusted contact. That's simply somebody that it's not a beneficiary, but someone that they're providing a name that if all of a sudden you get a call and they say, look, I'm representing Mr. or Miss such and such, and I need to get some particular financial information. Unless they're a trusted contact, you're not going to be able to get that information. So one of the things that folks out there want to make sure of is that they have a trusted contact list.
That's a great, great point, yep. Because knowing that this is the person you talk to, so the gatekeeper all of a sudden is shoving the door, you can't talk to them. So who is that trusted contact? Let me ask you this. This is one of those things. We got phone numbers. We got cell phones today, email. I know you've talked about this before, changing an email address just out of the clear blue sky, and they don't know why.
Yeah, and there is the next step to being able to isolate an individual, because once you change an email address and you've tried to stay in touch with that person and all of a sudden that comes back as a no good email address or a phone number has been changed, that's a sign, a warning sign that all of a sudden someone is trying to make off or do something that they shouldn't do with that particular senior citizen, and it can be an abusive situation.
You know, Rob, your practice, you work with the majority of your practice is working with senior citizens. You've done a fabulous job of building that relationship and working through there. And, you know, I know that the family members trust you to pay attention to these warning signs. Is there something that you want to make sure that our listening audience understands when it comes to really identifying and, recognizing the tips and things that they look for, that from your chair, you're doing that?
People have a certain way that they act, and you begin to know that when you work with a person. And when you see unusual behavior starting to surface, then you really want to be really aware of what's going on, what's making this person act differently than they were. And sometimes it could be even something more the medical community. It could be depression, anxiety. It could be that they have stopped eating. They're just gone into malnutrition. So that's two of the last of the seven things that we just kind of really make sure that we're sensitive about and can be able to stand with a person and watch them for any of these types of opportunities individuals are trying to take them.
Thank you, Rob. Great information. Great information. If you'd like to talk to Rob, you can call him at 901-757-5757. Wow, it's another program. It's wrapped up. I'm going to get in my Plymouth Duster and drive home, and I only get about 7 miles to the gallon, guys, but it's a great car, heavy.
You're doing your part for the environment,
I'm
right?
I'm doing my part for the environment. I want to thank my guests, Scott Jordan, Dane Williams, and, of course, Rob Clement. If you have questions for Scott, Dane, or Rob, you can reach them at 901-757-5757. You can find our show, Talk Money, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Search for Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker. Subscribed, and we so much appreciate you being a part of the program. If you have questions, type them to Jim to the text line at 901-683-8255. 0989. That's Jim, J-I-M, to 901-683-0989. Next week, my guest, Dr. Kevin Westbrook, we're going to talk about AI, artificial intelligence. I tell you, it's still a hot topic. Scott Jordan's coming back. We're going to continue to answer Robert's questions about some timeless tips and how do we maintain that confidence in the market. Daniel Irwin from the Better Business Bureau, he's going to talk us and take us back to Scam School. That's Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and again Sunday at 9 a.m. I want to thank my producers, Tyler Springs and Maximilian. Guest and content coordination, Francis Fortner. Production and marketing assistant, Laura Norsworthy. And compliance officer, Tommy Armstrong. Thanks so much for listening and being a part of today's program. We are for you, and we're here every week helping you make the most of your money. I'm Jim Shoemaker. This is Talk Money.
Jim Shoemaker and Scott Jordan are registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Securian Financial Services, Inc., securities dealer, member, FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Rob Clement is a registered representative of Securian Financial Services, Inc. Shoemaker Financial is independently owned and operated.
Helping you make the most of your money. This has been Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker on News Talk 98.9.